Jane Benner.
Jim Fleming.
Now we'll have the vice chair say the pledge of allegiance for us.
Who's the vice chair?
She can't see the flag.
I pledge allegiance.
To the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. Let it be known that I'm new at this job, so we could stumble a little bit today.
You'll take care of it.
We have any questions on the minutes from January?
We just have to change Jane's name from Gillette to Benner.
Under point eight.
Point eight.
Okay.
Because we've got Jane, another Jane on planning committee.
She doesn't have a Y, so she can't go with Wayne because it has to be Wayne.
Oh, Wayne and Jane, yeah, okay, I understand that now.
Okay, do we have that solved?
Yes, I will get that corrected right now.
Motion to approve the minutes?
I'll make that motion.
I'll second it. Okay.
Going? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Very good. This is very hard as Jim was saying. Update on the water and wastewater. I guess we're gonna hear from Jake, huh?
Yeah, just gonna give you a little update on the projects. We officially approved the contract with Amos and Perry as of last week at our last council session. And just wanted to give you guys an update. We gave council an update on just an outline of the projects, just to be, you know, get some clarity to everybody. It's good to keep up on this. I'll go through them. If you guys have any questions, feel free to stop me and ask for any specifics. Review for the water system improvements, new well, pump station, reservoir, distribution system improvements, extension into Cagle and Glenwood Acres, with a total project cost of $10,637,500. The funders for those projects include USDA, Business Oregon, Safe Drinking Water Revolving Loan Fund, and the city. Review for wastewater system improvements includes a new storage lagoon, pump station improvements, disposal area, and a septic receiving station. Collection system improvements to extend service into Cagle and Glenwood Acres with a total project cost of $14,028,000. Funders for that are again USDA, DEQ, Business Oregon, CDBG, and Water Wastewater, and the city. Funding overview, we're gonna take $12,586,000 in loans. Grants include 9.6 million, and the city contribution is roughly 2.5. Again, we're estimating the combined monthly rate for all users in the systems to be in the low to mid $80 a month. Anderson's Perry's proposal and approach for the project, I'm just gonna go over that briefly instead of showing you their proposal document, which was a binder document, so they broke it apart roughly for us. It's a three-project approach, obviously. Project one being water system improvements, project two, wastewater system improvements, project three, Cagle and Glenwood improvements. And each one of those projects has their own representative that's kind of, that's their project that they're, you know, managing. The benefits to having a three-project approach provides flexibility in award and execution, provides more clear and concise plan sets, limiting conflicts between multiple contractors. Provides a wider pool of contractors that may bid on each project instead of doing one major project. It kind of limits certain contractors that can't do those kind of bids, basically. Does not overburden city staff or city systems. Completes capacity improvements to both systems prior to bringing Cagle and Glenwood Acres onto city system. What that's referencing is We're looking at doing the wastewater systems first, so the major components, water system components first, and then going out to those neighborhoods. Because if you don't have a new source to take water out there, or you don't have a source for the new wastewater being generated to go somewhere, you probably can't go into those neighborhoods. So, and you'll see, we're going to go over a timeline that talks about what we're proposing and phasing these projects in. And there is some reasoning to that madness, basically. There's going to be a GIS approach. We've been talking about GIS a lot. It's going to be a big component. As these things are going in the ground, it's going to be updated live into our GIS system with design and construction. We'll go over the timeline. Next steps, basically, we're going to do outreach. So we're going to reach out to all the homeowners in those areas. We're probably going to do door hangers, letters, the whole nine yards. We'll probably have another open house here in the spring that talks about these projects. There are going to be some survey work up there, starting pretty quick. We'll probably start seeing some work done this month. In regards to some LIDAR imagery, where they fly the site, and they do survey work that way. I'm sure Tom's aware of that type of survey work.
I was going to say, that's kind of expensive to do LIDAR. Why are we doing LIDAR?
Maybe Eric can shed some light on that.
They're gonna fly the entire city, so it's not just the project area. It would be something that could be, the whole thing could be incorporated into GIS.
I see the benefit too, is our updated maps could benefit greatly from a LIDAR survey, because let's face it, some of the system components we have they're pretty outdated from the mapping we've got.
So
from.
You're basically going to do LIDAR the whole city?
The whole system, yeah.
The whole area?
Yep.
And who's going to be doing that? Is Anderson Perry going to be in charge of it? Or
they are, yes. I believe I have a consultant out at Cape Falls.
Yeah, I'm not sure who their sub-consultant is doing it, but my understanding is they're going to do the LIDAR and they're going to do imagery as well, so they'll all be available real high resolution.
We can update these maps that we've been integrating.
And you can change them when you go out and find out.
Yep.
Any idea on the cost of just that portion of it, or?
I don't know the cost for that. I think that the LIDAR combined with some field work is a lower cost thing than trying to do field survey work for the whole project area. That would get really expensive doing that much field survey work. So
they're going to have to do some field survey work, there's no doubt. But this is going to save them a lot of time.
What? I'd like to.
How much is real expensive?
I don't know what the cost for flying this is, but I would estimate it's in the $35,000 range. I think if you're going to do a full topographic survey with field crews and survey equipment, that's a $100,000 plus survey to do field work with survey crews. So, and I know there's LIDAR and some field work involved, so it's somewhere in there.
So you see it as being the lowest cost option then for that, to survey the whole, you're talking the entire city.
For LIDAR, yeah, I think it is the lowest cost option. LIDAR, the accuracy of LIDAR is not quite the same as if you're setting up with a toll station and taking shots, but it's pretty accurate. It's within 6 inches vertically, and then they'll come through and take some survey shots where they need to augment that.
I'm just talking for Mid-State now, but we'd be interested in possibly looking at that data and maybe we can use that as part of the negotiation tools talking about for
sure.
Downtown.
Yeah, we'd love to have that discussion. And I will say, you know, the first funds that we need to use on this project are CDBG, the grant funds, because there's a certain timeline on how we need to use those funds, and they need to be strictly wastewater related, because that's what it was funded for and awarded. We need to get those funds spent, so the first year of this project, we're going to be focusing on wastewater. No, LiDAR doesn't just suffice wastewater, it suffices the whole system, but we can pull funds from that grant specifically for that LiDAR to help offset those costs. Yes, it's expensive, the new LiDAR, but I think ultimately it's going to give us the best result, and it keeps the projects moving quicker as well.
Is there an established budget when the cost of this program was estimated? Was this LiDAR?
Yeah, it was included in the proposal, you bet.
So there is a specific budget that you would be looking at to see that you're meeting or exceeding or?
Yes. And the proposers that we had proposed this project that included LiDAR, we really liked that option. There was only, I think, two people?
Mm-hmm.
Anderson Perry and another firm, but we liked that option.
What about the other areas? We don't want to leave out Wayne's neighborhood.
Well, the LiDAR system, whole city.
When are they coming on? Are they included in the Cagle and Glenwood areas?
Yes.
Oh, good.
The Cagle and Glenwood is kind of a generic term that covers all those areas.
Okay, at all. Okay, good.
So obviously, wastewater is going to be our main focus. Let's pull the timelines out right here.
Yes.
Wastewater is our first focus because we've got that grant money that we need to spend in a certain priority. And it's got to be for design. It can't be for construction. And wastewater is a good approach to start with first because we own quite a bit of that land where our wastewater improvements are going. So there's no stickiness when we're trying to get permits, stuff like that. Right. We can go with wastewater and get some of those things going.
You have to be able to sign off on it anymore.
Right.
Are there separate trackings in the budget or how the money is spent for
yes.
the grant money action?
Yep.
Would be?
Yep.
Thank you.
No, we've been talking about the budget and how that's going to all work out, make sure we can cover each fund. And each funder is very specific, too, with what they'll provide their funding for. You can't just keep it loosey-goosey. You have to provide documents that says, but yes. So obviously, 2018, it's showing wastewater design starting. It also says we're going to start the water lane acquisition. And it says we're going to start with Cable Glenwood wastewater design because it's basically referencing that LiDAR imagery. If we're going to be out doing survey work, we're going to be looking at the whole system, not just certain little things of the system. So that's going to start in the next month. We're going to start doing some of that design work.
Okay.
And what they're saying, that's roughly going to take a year to finish the wastewater design. They're saying in February of 2018, so a little less than a year, to get those ready for bid for the wastewater improvements for construction. And then they're talking about starting the water design around that same time frame, March of 2019. We don't own the land for some of those improvements for the water, so that's kind of what is up in the air. We're trying to figure out how hard it's going to be to work with the Forest Service. So that's why they're giving us some time frame to get some of those things lined up.
Is there any possibility that I could be involved with your meeting with the Forest Service on that?
Yeah.
Just because.
Yeah, because you can bring the power to that site, correct?
Maybe we got to get ESF 299 to include the power.
Yep. No problem.
What's the estimated time frame on the completion of all of this?
2021.
Okay. Sunday. Oh, thank you.
Now, what's number three?
Well, number three is for that new reservoir. So we have well
so
one.
So you're counting the one on Hinkle, to, or
nope.
Finley?
Finley Butte's got two wells that feed that reservoir. Well one and well two.
Oh,
like two wells on site.
Okay.
Yep.
So the new one will be three?
Yes.
That's the one that's going up behind Gordy's up in the hills up that way?
Yes. Okay. When we talked about well three being potentially up closer to there,
right.
But we're worried about damaging that aquifer.
Right.
And doesn't really suffice the needs for the north end of town having that fire flow capacity. If you put everything right here, you still don't have that reservoir storage on the north end of town, and you're not so close to this aquifer.
Will it be just as good?
That's
the one
hope
we've got now?
That's why we're going to try to mimic as many of those aspects as we can.
That's pristine.
Yeah.
Sam Olson says that area up there is, it's got great water, some of the best water in the soil.
Yes. Well, Newberry is known for that. Is it kind of up in there?
So we're gonna be complementing what we already have and adjusting to it.
That's the idea.
So.
Good job.
So that's the timeline right now. We're gonna be going full force on the wastewater design, getting that construction going out. Just because we know the water's gonna probably take a little time to get everything lined up the way we want it to. Hopefully it goes really well, and maybe we can shorten this timeline a little bit. But they're being pretty generous in this timeline, I think, just because they're trying to cover all the bases too.
But when you lay down all the foundation of the pipes coming and going for the water and the sewer, you'll be doing that together?
Yes.
At the same time,
yes,
when you dig up the streets and stuff? Good.
When do you see the receiving station going in?
Soon. Yeah, I would anticipate that when we go out for construction for the wastewater project in 2019, that'll be one of the first ones we have the contractor do. Yep. And we were trying to pull it out and possibly looking at doing it this summer. But USDA and some of the other funders were open to the idea, but you know, we already designated funds for certain parts of this project, so it made it interesting. I said, you know what, let's just wait. You know, we've waited this long, we can wait till 2019 to get them. So we don't want to screw the process up, basically.
Is that the way you guys feel about it?
I'd like to see it start tomorrow.
Same here. But when you talk about mobilization of the contractor doing some work on site there already, USDA was nervous because they thought there would be some cost savings. If someone's there building a lagoon, doing all these improvements already, have them build that septic receiving station for you. Don't pull it up now. Bid it out. You're going to have to fund it with all your money. You get cost savings going back into the project, but it's easier if we do it this way. I said, okay, we can wait.
Yeah. Yeah. You talk about money.
Okay. Very good.
And we'll be trying to do all that work when we're trying to design all the projects. It just keeps us in so many different places at once, too.
Impact on, this is such a huge project, impact on staff time is primarily you, isn't it?
It's going to be everybody, but yes, I'll be busy.
So over the next few years, do you anticipate maybe you might need two additional staff?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think we'll see. The next budget hopefully will reflect another employee. We'll possibly look at another one when those projects kick off. You're talking about, you know, a third more users in the system.
Or you could just offer two Superman capes to these guys.
You could.
A little overtime Superman capes. Mm-hmm. That's not a bullshit question.
I got the badges already.
Yeah, we want the badges.
Any other questions?
Sounds very good, thank you.
Thank you
for watching that close.
So how does the cost compare with what you originally estimated?
It's the same.
Same?
It just appears to get the same budget numbers.
Good.
Nothing changed. That's what we were hoping. Telemetry. I'm going to scoot over there.
Okay.
So, yes, we've talked a lot about telemetry and that it was approved, and we started integrating it in February. Mostly all our sites, lift stations, and well site are now on the telemetry system. Had a few hiccups the first week just because trying to figure out how it all works, and got quite a few little call outs because it'll call you or text you or if there's an issue. Let's pop it up real quick. So you're looking at our telemetry right there. All those green dots that you're seeing is either a lift station or a well site. So we could click on the lift station. I could go to pumps. And it shows me on the hour how many minutes those pumps are running. It'll tell you the gallons they put out. And it's showing me that they're alternating, which I want to see. I don't want to see pump one being the workhorse up there. I want to see pump one and pump two alternating when they get called out. Based on these, I can generate trends on how often those pumps are running and how many gallons they're putting out. And when they start not performing to what they're supposed to be, based on the trend over, like, let's say a monthly trend, if it's below that or above that, it'll notify me and say, pump one at Wiki Uplift Station is performing over its normal capacity. So that tells me I need to go up there and take a look at what's going on. And this site did that. Pump two started performing way below its anticipated threshold. And pump two was having issues. So before it became a problem up there and we burned up pump two or we lost pump two and it started backing up, we went up there last week and fixed it with a pump guy. And now
that's
it's back in
the... That's just what you said it would do.
Yes.
And instead of finding out about it 2 days later, now you're find out about it right away.
Right.
That's wonderful that we have that capacity to do that.
And it's telling us all sorts of things.
Okay.
That we didn't know about before, which is creating more work for us, but it's a good thing.
Good in the long run.
Yes.
Overall cost savings have been huge too.
Yeah, putting out fires before they start is a big thing.
Yeah.
And we'll show
so
you.
Is Heath on that? The one?
Yeah, Heath's on its own separate little. It's the pump has its own telemetry provided with it, so I have a different platform I'll look at.
But does it alert you?
It does. It'll alert
wow.
me the same way. Yep.
Excellent.
Those pumps are running. I think they cycle probably 50 times a day, and they're running about a minute and 30 seconds each cycle, so pretty low flow.
And that was just a real small one with two or three houses on it.
No, it's probably got 8 or 10, but...
But that was a big mess, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Good job.
So it definitely will notify us, and it's the same type of platform. I can look at it. It's just a different website. And if we ever redo that site someday, we'll probably put it with the same type of telemetry, just keep them all the same, but...
I was going to say, you probably have some benefits to converting to it before it fails.
Right. Only reason I went with its own telemetry because it was significantly less than this. And it had the same capabilities. Yes, ideally all mine are all on one platform mission. And we probably will integrate it into that at some point.
Do you have, now that was kind of a fluky thing because the ground was so much lower there than the road.
Yeah, gravity
so
was an issue.
It, so it's just those first few houses that are on it?
Right.
Hopefully that won't happen again, huh?
I'll try to avoid it, for sure.
Well, you didn't have anything to do with that.
I didn't. If it was up to me, I would have made them rebuild grade in there.
Yeah.
And build the houses up higher.
That's what should have happened in the first place.
But, unfortunately, none of us were around then. Any questions about telemetry?
Beautiful. So do you have everything on now?
Everything's on right now.
He's been busy.
If there's an alarm going off at one of these sites right now, you'll see it blinking red at us. Mm. If someone's working on that telemetry, it'll be yellow. It'll be in service mode. So it doesn't, every time you're adjusting something, it doesn't throw a text message out to you. When there's power failures up there, like we had a couple weeks ago, Bonneville took power down. All the sites at 1:12 in the morning notified us. They notified Reed at 1:12 in the morning.
Just for 2 hours to hear.
1:00. 1:00. Every single pump notified me that they weren't on. Multiple times.
They'll only notify. They'll tell you that they're off, and they'll tell you when they're back to normal too.
It looks like it's money well spent.
It has been.
That's good.
Well, we appreciate it.
That's it.
Any other questions on telemetry?
So it's all done now, or you have to do some more upgrades later on? To the new stuff that's coming
in. New stuff, yeah. We'll integrate the new stuff as it goes in.
Yeah.
For sure.
Good.
And we're finding out, lots of little issues with lift stations, like, you know, some of the floats are having issues. Floats tell you when the pump should kick on and kick off.
Yeah.
We're going through and replacing floats now and stuff like that.
What are your green lines through your hay field?
Let's talk about GIS now. Let's move to the next topic. GIS, here's our mapping system of sewer, all your green lines. Dark green lines are a pressure line, and the lighter ones are collection gravity. So your green lines are force mains. These are collection or gravity mains. All your yellow dots are clean outs. So basically ways to access the sewer mains. And all your orange dots are septic tanks that we've been putting in. And I'm going to click on the septic tank and show you what we've been building with the septic tanks. This is something new that GIS never had before. It's a new layer that we integrated and built basically ourselves with help, because I don't have the brain or capacity to figure it out on a computer like our consultant can. But I do have lots of ideas. So you click on a tank, that's tank number 160, septic tank 160. That's bimarked. It's a 3,000 gallon tank, it's concrete, it's got a 4-inch inlet. It tells you all sorts of different attributes about that tank that you want to know. More specifically, every time we touch that tank or do work at it, like we go pump it, we can create a work order inside our telemetry system. I can click on that. Our last time we were there was February 2nd at 1 p.m. The crew pumped the tank, and you can go down the list, and everything was acceptable. So every time a tank gets pumped, it creates a work order in GIS. Someone calls us and says, hey, when was my tank pumped last? I could pop this up, click on it. I can say our crew was there February 2nd. And I can build a rotation off that. If I know that tank needs to be pumped every 6 months, I can create a system that says notify me in 6 months from February 2nd that we need to be back at the biomark tank.
This gives you the specific location of that tank, doesn't it?
It does. Yep.
So there's no exploratory work if you need any.
No, I'll go back and I'll show you.
In the middle of winter when there's 5 feet of snow?
Yeah. So you click on that tank. When we load these into our system out in the field, you can click on a photo and it'll show you that tank in the field.
Wow.
I could do this on my smartphone walking around town. I could click on that tank and have my smartphone tell me how to get to it in GIS. It'll do like a little autopilot with a little arrow.
Did you have to hand load all that stuff? You did, didn't you?
All the septic tanks we've had to put in.
Good job, Jay.
But we don't have them all in yet. It's a work in progress.
Look at him taking all the glory.
We don't have them all in yet.
We don't have them all in yet. We. We. Where's that mouse in your pocket?
I said we.
I'm kidding.
Good job, Jay.
The public shouldn't know about all the information that you have.
They should, though.
Could make them worry a little. Got the Jake guy over you.
So now the whole crew can get in there and upgrade when they're out there.
Yeah.
See, I thought it was just you, so I apologize. Thank
no.
you guys.
I'd say that most of these were put in by the crew.
Good.
I've done some walking around and putting them in. But every time we touch a tank now, we go pump it. We're putting it in the system. Or we're going around and walking through these neighborhoods and putting it in beforehand.
I think if you have that open house, we should talk about this too.
Yeah, because we're going to be integrating a lot of this new stuff into the system.
Yeah.
Just upgrading it and making it better. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, we talk about septic tanks and the sewer. On the water side, I could open up the water platform too. Look at water. Just like a septic tank, I could click on a hydrant and tell you the last time that hydrant was serviced based on
that's
the records.
That's good. Yeah.
And I'm going to integrate this so the fire department has access as well.
Wonderful.
And like you can make it, see all those red dots are fire hydrants? I can make a red dot a yellow dot, and that tells the fire department that that hydrant's out of service if it's yellow or whatever we want to coordinate to them.
Wow. That's
outstanding.
Our focus right now is septic tanks, because we know septic tanks can be more of a problem than a fire hydrant if it's not working correctly.
Well, it's a catastrophe in the wintertime when we have 5 feet of snow on. And the crew has to go out there with a blowtorch.
Try to find
it. Go through the ice, and they're the only ones that know where it is.
Right. And this, I mean, like, our engineer, Eric, wherever he went, he'll have access to this, too. So when he's talking to potential developers and what they want to do, he can look at this mapping system. He won't have the same functionality as we did. He can't go through and edit and change things, but he can view stuff and see what they have to work with. A live mapping system.
The planner can use it for all of her fire flow tests that she needs for every land use application.
Yep.
And can't you layer it with Dial?
Yes.
Oh, good.
I can layer it. Let's do it right now.
But we can't get it on Dial.
No.
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 They could have made it public, but...
So Deschutes County uses ArcGIS as well? So I can borrow information from Deschutes County and populate it on here, depending on what it is. And we're going to do some work with them to where we have that stuff to more of a full, accurate potential. For a planning aspect. I'm trying to focus on water and sewer right now. I'm not trying to get into the weeds on planning.
Right.
But
we're getting into big city stuff here.
Right.
Relatively new city. I mean, this is just so impressive.
Yep.
So I can add tax lots. Let's populate tax lots. Boom. Yeah, that's a layer.
Right, there's the heavier tax area.
Yeah, there you are.
That's where I don't get it.
I could click on that, and it's going to show me the tax lot and ID number and the township range. It's going to give me some basic knowledge on it, not to the extent of the Deschutes County City Planner, but it's nice for referencing. Like, I could go pull up Dial now and look up a septic tank that was put in the ground in the 1980s and see exactly where it is.
Well,
yeah, because nobody has records.
What's that?
There's not records back that far.
Sometimes there is.
Well, but you know how to access them.
Right.
You teach us how to.
I know how to get to them, but the average person doesn't, right? Any other questions on the GIS?
Beautiful. That's good.
Yeah.
And I think Anderson Perry is going to use this kind of like their guinea pig, because they're trying to promote this system in other smaller communities.
Mm-hmm.
So you might see me going on a field trip to help them, you know, help us, stuff of that nature. But I think with that being in mind, they're giving us some really good deals because we're kind of their smaller system guinea pig. And I'm okay with that. I've been pushing the envelope on them pretty good. I don't think they're used to that from a smaller system.
This is, it just looks phenomenal.
It's getting there.
Yeah.
It's getting there.
Good vision.
And then, you know, we've talked about, you know, we can start into some of the budget stuff. We talked about contracting out some of these tanks so we can keep up with the pumping and maintenance of them. If I have this system in place, I can build a spreadsheet. I could highlight 50 tanks in there. I could put them in Excel, print it off, and give them to the contractor. Say, I want you to do these tanks. And I can print a map that shows where the tanks are. And I can say, bring me back the each report, and I can put when they were pumped into the system. I really didn't want to go that route with contracting it unless I had something in place to keep track of when they were pumped and where they're at.
The wee is hollering over there.
The team wants to talk to you.
How about who's going to make that spreadsheet? You are.
We voted.
You voted and you're making the spreadsheet.
Well, you could highlight all the tanks like that, go to septic tanks. I can export. And I just made an Excel spreadsheet with all those tanks in it.
Wow.
Wonder how printable that is.
That is great.
You know, there's comments in there, it tells you where the tank's at, stuff like that. But I didn't really want to contract out unless I had a good hold of how many tanks we have, where they're at, when they should be pumped. This is a great way to do that. Because if you don't, you're babysitting the contractor the whole time. You're trying to say, well, I think the tank's over there, but I really don't know. Or I think it's a 2,000-gallon tank. And it'll cost you money, right?
Yep.
Can we put backflows into this?
Yeah, you could.
Let's put the backflows into this.
You could put water meters, backflows.
We should totally do that.
We will.
Reed and Johnny should totally do that.
Any other questions on that?
Thanks, Ash.
Oh, you're welcome. We're friends for, man.
And these are systems that have just taken place since summer, last summer. So we've been busy. I'm trying to get this, a good hold on it before we start these projects, so it's not so cumbersome trying to work with the system.
But you only got that project in the fall, in the winter time. So you've been really busy loading and all this stuff, and I thank you, team. Good job.
Just pat yourself on the back.
Good.
Short arms.
Any other questions on any of that? We can talk about goals and priorities for budget season. We can talk about, I was going to mention, I think it's a priority to do a pilot project and start doing some of these tanks on a contracted basis. In my mind, it's probably going to be between $20,000 to $30,000 for that contract, and that's going to roughly get us 100 to 150 tanks, depending on their size. And I've been writing up a proposal. They're going to bid on a per gallon basis. So if it's a 2,000 gallon tank, they're going to say it's cost this much per gallon to pump that tank. We're going to provide dumping services for free at our sewage plant, so they don't have to pay dumping fees.
And we don't get charged for them.
Yep. Exactly. I mean, we could charge them for it, but what's the point? We're not going to make any money on it.
Put the 5% on it when they go less.
Sure. And we're trying to find the areas in town we want to focus on with that first pilot project.
Is there any priority on local contractors for that?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Keep business in town.
Yeah, we can say priority, you know, for local businesses. We can't just say you have to be a local business, but
yeah,
you know, you get a point, or you know, point system priority for local.
Good, I like that.
So we've been working on that. I'd like to do that this summer with the new fiscal year budget. Some other stuff we're looking at right now before the new budget. So with our projected budgets this year, we still have some funds available. Specifically now that we're not doing the septic receiving station, we did budget a significant amount for that. With this telemetry, we're noticing some of our lift stations need some upgrades. Like, the last time we went through and replaced pumps, it's been a while. They're an older style pump, they're not very efficient, they draw a lot of power, and it seems like yearly we're rebuilding those pumps. We're starting to see the life of those pumps go down significantly. Question?
We have a question.
Yeah.
I may not have gotten this
correctly,
but did you say that we're not going to do the receiving
station? We are going to do this receiving station, but it's going to be part of that overall project. So the funds for it's going to come out of our grants.
I'm worried about our guys with their wheelbarrows out.
I'm worried too.
So see wastewater construction.
2019.
So the wastewater construction, that's going to be the first project you have, the wastewater construction?
Absolutely.
Oh, it's coming out. 2 years.
Okay. So it delays it a year.
Okay.
I really love to see the efficiency that's going on with the pumps, with the rest of it. We can become more efficient with our time, our energy, our dollars.
Yep.
That just gives us the amount of take on more growth when we need it.
Right.
I don't want those young men out there shoveling, you know what,
around snow. I've been there too. When I first
I
worked
said
here,
young men.
No, I'm just, when I first worked here in 2009, I said someday, if I'm ever in charge here, I'm going to make this station go away. Well, I didn't realize I'd leave and come back, but it's still on my priority list. Yes, it might take another year, but
he's using the other word, contractor. So, you know, hire somebody to go let our guys stay home.
We'll never get away from pumping tanks, but we can get a hold on and keep track and stay up, you know, on top of it. Besides, we're just always kind of reacting to when tanks need to be pumped.
And do we have neighborhoods that access to those tanks is going to be difficult?
Yeah, there is some.
It's your street.
Yeah, like my street.
So that pilot program, I'm probably going to pick tanks that aren't super difficult to get to for a contractor. Some of these subdivisions that they actually listed in place when they set these tanks up, When you get to these residential areas where they run their own private sewer before, and now we switch them over, that's where you see tanks that are a little more difficult to get to. Or maybe it's in the backyard, or...
Yeah, with a gate.
Or a gate. We're probably going to avoid some of those with the pilot program, just because I don't want my contractors going in someone's backyard.
Yeah.
Because of liability.
Which is my problem.
Right.
Anybody can sit or went down and done that. But what's your thought then for...
They just
areas? So your bigger subdivisions off of Finley Butte, you got Wheeler Ranch, you got Huntington Meadows, and then the Crescent Creek subdivision's a high priority as well. Just in those three, there's probably 250 tanks.
They're pretty close to the street. They wouldn't be behind gates, are they?
They wouldn't be. And those are all, mostly, are all shared tanks.
Yeah. So
my priority on these first projects is tanks that have been shared. Where there are multiple users sharing a tank, that's where you see a lot of problems arise. They got more than one user, there's a lot of septage going to that tank.
Huntington Meadows has shared tanks, don't
some
they?
Some of them are three or four person sharing, house sharing.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Some other projects we've identified, me and Eric have been looking at, is our First Street main lift station. It's the first lift station that went into our system. It needs some improvements, and I'd like to do that 2018 or 2019. So we're looking at what we can do with that lift station. Not replace it like Wikia, but do some major improvements to it. Right now it's got two pumps in it. One of them has failed, but in order to replace those pumps, you have to go inside the lift station, unbolt them, and then yard them out with a crane, which is not ideal.
So
a typical lift station is on a rail system, to where you can pull a pump on a rail system from above ground. This station is not.
Which station is it?
It's
First Street.
What?
The main lift station on First Street across from the medical center next to the fire hall.
So are you talking about
fire
the
hall.
Do it on a rail system?
Yes.
Converted?
Two new pumps, rail system.
Three-phase power.
Is it down?
Three-phase power, yes.
Is that down in the ravine?
So if you're going on First Street before you get to Huntington, it's just right off to the left, to the south, right by the fire hall. Right by ODOT's yard, too. There's a little building right there.
Oh, okay.
That site doesn't have backup power right now, so if power goes out, it's got no backup power. It's got a cracked discharge line.
Oh, that's not good.
Inside the well. So there's some issues going on there.
So which one of these guys got to go down there to unbolt it?
We've all been down there.
Oh, thank you. No, thank you. Gas mask and
we had to replace a float in there 3 weeks ago.
Yeah,
me and Reed went down to that one. Our telemetry notified us there was issues going on there, so we looked at it and we had a bad float. So the float wasn't telling the pump when to turn on, so it just wasn't.
Yeah.
And if you remember, I said one pump's not working there, so it's on one pump right now, but that one pump wasn't knowing when this should turn on. So that was a neat day. But we got her back going.
Sounds neat.
When you're trying to make it everything in there, you don't have to go inside the pit to work on it,
right.
Which is a very dangerous
thing.
You
get gassed out.
Right.
Yeah. When you have a planning of upgrading that again?
I'd like to do it this year, 2018.
Yeah.
You're talking about taking money and not spending on the receiving station.
Using it for that. Because these are all capital projects and that was set aside in the capital.
Yeah.
Improvements.
Get her done.
And I just got a quote for the parts for it. It was 30-something thousand just for the parts for it, including pumps, rail system, all the works. Now, that doesn't include construction, so we're trying to figure out what we think construction would be for that. Because we'd have to take that site offline for a certain time frame, because if we're inside there working and cutting stuff out, you can't have that lift station live. And we put a bypass station in place to where it would be running off a bypass system.
How much does that handle?
That site? I don't know roughly the gallon, but it handles the whole west side all the way up to St. Charles.
Wow.
That's kind of the cutoff. So it takes in all the three schools, all the businesses on the west side of 97. Yeah, we want to keep that lift station going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you don't have enough room there that you can build a new one right beside it?
Where does all the storage
We don't have enough easement right there to do that. But the trouble, the nice thing about that site, we don't anticipate a lot more growth on that side of town because there's not a lot of room.
Right.
All the growth's going to be happening more north, which would be going to a different lift station. Like St. Charles doesn't come to that lift station, that's kind of the cutoff point.
Oh, good.
It goes to what we call Newberry lift station. And that site is sized for more growth.
And Crescent Creek.
Crescent Creek goes to that lift station as well. Newberry, not First Street.
Now, okay, so we're just talking about the white water from flushing your toilets and so on. What about the rainwater and the storm water and the snow melt?
Sorry, we call that
I&I. Where does that go?
That does not go into the sewer system.
You pump that out to the prairie, don't you?
It gravities out to the...
Gravity.
Yep.
The only thing they have to do on that one is expand it up to Race.
Correct. And most of the stormwater piping systems in town is currently owned by Deschutes County. And they anticipate in the summer extending that line up 3rd Street towards the highway.
That's why you don't have it. They put that in there. I think Vic Russell put it in. And that's why you don't have the flooding there anymore in that corner. The same way with 1st Street, they, all they had to do was clean out a drain on the side where the medical center is. All I had to do is clean out that drain. That's all
it
was plugged up.
The post office, that's still kind
that's,
of plugging up.
That's going to be a weird one.
I think a project we should look at for 2019 is improving our drafter sewer main up there. It's a 4-inch sewer main with some issues. Right now, when we have in place, anybody does development up there that would affect their section of that 4-inch has to pay into a fund. We think we deem the quantity amount. We don't think they should upgrade, make that 8-inch right on their own property where a 4-inch comes to an 8-inch and then goes back to a 4-inch. Doesn't make any sense.
No.
But they're going to pay into a fund to where when we do that project, we have some money set aside to make it happen. And I think 2019 would be a good time to try to focus on how we want to tackle that 4-inch main up there.
Well, I think by the post office, you just go up to the corner there at 1st Street and tap into the what's there.
I'm talking about drafter.
Oh, drafter, okay.
Yep.
Okay.
All the collection lines where you're talking about are either 6 or 8 inch from
here. Yeah.
So I'm going to try to focus on...
You wouldn't include that as part of the construction?
Of the... It wasn't identified in the master plan, so we probably couldn't include it into our overall project. It'd be separate.
Just couldn't add it as a separate line item when you bid it out?
I think the funding is tied to specific improvements. I don't think that...
We could tie it in, but we would have to fund it ourselves, possibly.
But there's efficiencies in using, making projects bigger and...
We just haven't explored a lot of that because our funders were very specific on what we could spend stuff for. We don't want to make them nervous, like, hey, we're going to add a bunch of stuff to this project after the fact, after you give us a bunch of grant money. So, I mean, that's some things we could explore. But, you know, that 4-inch line wouldn't be that big of a project to upgrade it, to do it ourselves. We've got the easements through there. We're not talking $1 million project. It'd be significantly less.
So you would tax them more?
No, we wanted, but whoever's doing development's gonna pay for that chunk of line to be upgraded.
Yeah.
So a new home buyer out there or a commercial property out there, they pay it in their SDCs or something?
Yes.
Okay.
Sure. So any projects that you guys would like to see in the next budget coming up? I've been talking a lot about stuff I'd like to see. I know what Public Works would like to see, but is there anything that you guys feel is important for the city? Because we're right in the middle of budget season right now. We're just starting into the new stuff for 2019.
Looks like you've got a pretty full plate.
Yeah.
And ODOT's going to be kicking off here pretty soon for the West Side improvements, remember that. There's been a lot of talk about the transit side. That's going to look like. Yeah, it's going to be busy year coming up for sure. Probably the next 5 years will be pretty busy.
Yeah.
So we need to talk about the alleyway at all between Pennington and Morrison?
We could touch on it a little bit. There has been some talk about improving an alleyway between 4th Street and to the north to, what would that be, 2nd?
I think it only goes to 3rd.
Third?
Yeah, does it go behind like Jim Fern's house or any of that, or the bank, or the bookstore?
There's been some talk about some development going on through there, and we thought it'd be a nice attribute, since that's kind of our downtown corridor, to keep some of the traffic back to an alleyway for if they're going to be delivering goods and services for, like, let's say,
and
a restaurant.
Overflow parking.
Overflow parking, yes.
So you do more, it'd be on Morrison there, you kind of widen those streets?
Possibly. 4th Street could get some widening with some large street parking through there. Yep.
Are you thinking about that in 2018? Or is that a future project?
It could happen. 2018?
Just because of the housing and the restaurant?
Right. We're talking about paving that alleyway, do some 4th Street improvements that kind of mimic 4th Street going all the way to the highway. Basically, someone could take a sidewalk from Morrison all the way across Highway 97 to the Prairie House. Prairie House to the transit site would be a nice addition for downtown, I would think. So we're looking at some
right. That'd be very good, all that walking.
With ADA ramps and the whole nine yards.
And then they could go across 97 by our office and then straight out.
Yep.
Now, you know, now would be a good time to think about an alleyway on the east side behind the Lapine, all the way from, actually, you could go all the way up to McDonald's and all the way behind our office and all the way behind Aspen Alley.
I wonder if there is an alleyway on the records right now.
I don't think there is.
We could look at it.
Well, there's room Whoa. Behind Aspen Alley. There's room behind our office, and don't put this. And there's room, and it would take you across to Lapine's restaurant, and behind Hunan's, and end up right there at Newberry Station.
Right.
But I mean, even for overflow parking, sure. Maybe some of that would. You could buy some of that, put overflow parking in there.
I don't know. I think that's a whole private property too.
those properties don't have right of way dedicated on those. It's
on
just,
that side?
Yeah, it's just that area around Huntington Road was part of the plat of 1911 that actually has 15-foot alleys on every block. There's right of way all over on the Huntington side.
You know, Huntington and Morrison, it's all in that old plat, clear over to 2nd Street and Stillwell.
Well, that
and
used to be downtown, didn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think we don't.
I think it's, isn't it platted like that all the way out into the meadow
mm-hmm.
where we did that adjustment for the Hesses?
Yep.
But it's possible.
No, it's all behind Aspen Alley.
Right.
Barely.
Something to look into.
And you might want to talk to Diane about the side of our property there.
Okay.
I don't know if I would want to walk through an alleyway through the Roundup Trailer Park, personally.
Yes, you would.
I would do it. I'm tough.
You'd slide right in behind it.
Anybody else got any potential projects they'd like to see that would help overall? We'll find.
You just have the one lift station that you want to upgrade to three-phase power at this point in time?
You know, I talked about upgrading all the pumps on our other lift stations, too, which doesn't take a lot of money to do that, upgrade a couple pumps. I'd like to look into putting three-phase power at all those lift stations. Because with three-phase power, it gives you a lot more efficiency. Most of those are all single-phase power, which your efficiency is pretty low on those pumps.
I'd like to see a roundabout there, Huntington and Evergreen.
Okay.
So I can get into that.
You don't throw it out there, it ain't gonna happen, right?
He keeps trying.
They can't tell you no if you don't ask.
This is true. Might as well pay labor evergreen while you're at it.
I think your garden's just watered a little bit.
Wait.
Get some in here in the wintertime.
Right.
And throw some mosquito spray in there in the summertime.
Right. Well, ideally, our lift stations should have viable pumps, they should have backup power, and they should have reliable power.
Yeah.
And be efficient.
What do you say?
Oh, yeah, you want to.
Not reliable, efficient power. Not on our end, not your end.
Easy. The only thing you do that is one pump, one thing at a time.
Right.
The worst ones first, and then work your way down.
Somebody told me you can't take a bite out of it, eat the whole apple in one bite, right?
Yeah.
How do you eat the elephant?
One bite at a time.
That's what I felt like when, to be honest, when I first came here. There was a lot of apples out there that needed to be bit.
Yeah.
So I'm just trying to take as better of a stance at it as I can. We're getting there.
Very good. Very good. Thank you, Jake.
Yes.
Were there any other questions, Frank?
No.
Okay. Move on to other issues and concerns.
I think we kind of addressed a lot of those, but feel free to bring anything up. We're doing a lot more code enforcement now. We're kind of maximizing Deschutes County. We've got an agreement with Deschutes County that they'll provide code enforcement for us, but we really haven't taken that opportunity to its fullest, which we're starting to now. So if we can, find the areas or potential code enforcement issues, we give it to them, and then they take the next stance on it, because they really have that hammer better than we do currently.
Well, if you need help, I have this, because I brought this for you to hand off to somebody else, and I can start telling people.
Yeah.
They need to go on the website, fill out one of your forms, and turn it in, right?
We have lots of them. People come in all the time, and we'll always give you code complaint forms, and we'll give you them for the county too. We keep the county form on hand.
That is wonderful, because we could not get them to come down here, period. Right. Even when we were out on Twin or Sparks or something like that, they had all those dumping sites.
Part of our agreement with them using our office once a week was that we get some code enforcement.
Good job. And is that okay for me to tell people this?
Absolutely.
I don't want, and it won't overwhelm you guys.
I don't
want to add to this, Ashley.
Holly's going
to
go with it.
To be honest with you, finding the code compliance is a hard thing to do. You can drive around and find them all day long. Just following through and keeping up on the paper trail and make sure they go through with it, that's what was taking up a lot of our time. But with the county doing a lot of that aspect for us on some of those, it's going to help a lot.
How true is that? I mean, how?
Do they really do it?
What's the actual...
How many people actually follow through?
Yeah.
A lot of them, just depending on what the issue is. Sometimes when someone's living in an RV, it takes them a little bit to get out of that situation, but ultimately they usually do.
So the letters will be coming back from the Deschutes County?
They'll be writing the letters to the customer, correct.
Okay, I've got all that information on here.
We did 27 last month.
Wow.
Somebody's paying attention.
I think that was a couple of days of driving. Would be a day. And they sent out 27 letters to Deschutes County.
And that's something all of you don't have to do, right?
Right.
So I don't have to feel guilty every time.
You find them for us, great.
Okay.
Perfect. We're running through the proper channels. We might be the ones pushing the envelope on it, or Deschutes County might be, but we'll figure that out when you bring it to us.
It's just some are just dump sites now, and nobody's been there forever.
Right.
And they're right there in your face. And it's not just my neighborhood.
Usually, if you deal with the tenant, not a lot's going to be done. But if I deal with the property
These
owner.
These are empty.
If I deal with the property owner and say there's going to be some violations involved, usually they can do something about it.
Okay.
I have found. Or they don't. It goes into litigation and then we.
So if you have a problem, you contact the county, you don't go through the city court?
We do both.
I'm handing them in down here. It says city of Lapine, ordinance, infractions, or whatever, complaint, code enforcement.
We'll take the complaint, and hopefully their code enforcement officer can hold it.
Will you at least look at it, or you just put it in a box for them?
We look at it.
Good, because I spent a long time.
I'm not going to tell you to put it in the box.
Well, I took pictures here.
I always like yours because they're thorough. It makes our life easier.
Good. Anything else?
That's okay. Empty chair.
Public com-
That's, yeah.
I've got two open seats right now.
That's what I thought. Ashley's trying to sell another seat now.
Well, they got two open seats and they have to be.
I've charged top dollar for
Innies. They gotta be Innies.
Innies.
Remember when she was trying to sell Jim's seat when he was on vacation?
Yes.
You guys.
He got back in time, so it saved him.
Just come up with creative ways to make money, Wayne. Don't wait.
As long as it goes in the city's pocket. Okay.
Creative consulting over here.
Do we need to note in the minutes that Russ is?
We probably should say that.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll get him in there. Two vacancies for both people need to be in city limits.
Anybody want to volunteer a neighbor?
I'm sure if you should get somebody from Evergreen on the committee, you might end up with that roundabout.
I'm going to melt that, boy. Anything else? Everybody's done?
Public comments?
Public comments.
All right.
We have a public comment.
Woohoo!
Can
you state your name and residence?
Absolutely. Kathy Van Dam, and I live at 52724 Elm Drive.
And your bank account number?
Yeah, sure.
Your number.
And what do you do on Tuesday mornings?
Every other month.
I was a board director on a water PUD in the Portland area for 8 years. And this is awesome. The telemetry, everything, and the pump, the pump improvements, that's huge. And being notified, that is one of the most critical pieces of the whole process, is having that information. So good job, all of you guys, and you as well.
Hey.
It's nice to see the city, kind of coming up, stepping up, doing the 21st and century, which is good because we need that.
Love to see.
During this whole process, one of the questions. Actually, let me back up. I live just off of Cable.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so this project, we're happy about this coming on to you from there. Happy to see it. It's a good deal. One thing I would like to, a question I would have during that process is there any talk or consideration to some of the electrical things being done, like when we're doing all the work and everything's torn open and then we have these, all the conduit and everything that goes through. Is there any possibility of electric being included as well?
Mid-State and the city have been talking together about just that.
Okay.
So
awesome.
Some joint dishwork, basically. White town throws again later down the road when we got the opportunity to get some stuff
to do with it. Yeah. Okay.
We've been keeping a lot of really open dialogue between the city and Mid-State.
Okay. Great. Thank you. Next thing is, again, off the cable piece there. The cable and schedule, we realize down the road that will be paved, when all this is done, we're thrilled with that. But in the interim, we have people that are continually, especially when they come either off of Burgess and coming down, they're going to go to Cable one way or the other. There are no stop signs anywhere to hit that road, to hit Cable. And what happens is people fly around. We have seen near misses, we've almost been near misses. Our neighbor right at the edge of Elm and Cable has had 3 different times somebody fly through into his house, even took his pump out last year, his well situation. So if we could have, I'm just thinking for future, or as soon as we could, have stop signs put on where those roads come out, because it seems like no one wants to give the right of way, because they don't really know who has the right of way. Schedule thinks it's schedule, Doe thinks it's Doe, and no one really knows. So you slow down if you're a decent driver. The others don't give a rip, and we've had them come around, fly around this, and almost take us out anyway. Just a thought. For future. I'm all stay on this track for a moment. I'm sorry, Brad. I just had a question, as I know we noticed after we had moved in, but that there were streetlights down on Railroad Avenue. I'm not asking for streetlights. I'm just wondering why why was there a reason for that? I mean, it's my business.
I wasn't here then, but I'd like to hear your answer.
I could guess.
I think I know the reason.
There was a lot of vandalism going on.
Okay, and
gross. And so that was one of the areas that
perfect.
That the city asked for lights to be put up.
Okay, because neighbors have been questioning that as well. It's just like, you know, why are they big lights?
Right.
And you know, it's...
It wasn't because they were being good.
I was trying to be diplomatic. It was a request from the city.
Okay.
So...
It makes sense. Okay.
Since they have to pay the bill for it.
Sure. Okay. Thank you. That's something.
But isn't there a lighting person that she could talk to at not... See, there was a lighting plan.
Jake Lowe's lights.
Do you do lights too?
Whoa.
Oh my God.
I think, you know,
we do
when you get close to getting water and sewer done up there, we need to have a comprehensive plan of how this neighborhood is going to look. Whether it's sidewalks, whether it's a pathway, an asphalt pathway that connects those parts of town to the city, because I think it feels a little out of place, like it's not part of the city still.
Right.
I know water and sewer is going to be part of that, but there needs to be some other connectivity there too, whether it's, you know, pedestrian improvements, whether it's lighting. I mean, I think we should do some survey work up there where the customers can tell us what they want up there before we start making master plans of what they're going to get.
Well, we did a lighting survey. Remember, we had huge diagrams and...
Right. I think it needs to be readjusted.
Right.
I think so much has changed.
But
even
maybe
the last...
she could get on that list because maybe they need that for safety up there, or because it's dark in there in the corner.
Well, I think you need a representative from Cable Subdivision.
Yes. Specifically Elm. That Elm.
I made a
second, yeah. I've learned some ideas up there. Maybe you don't do sidewalks on both ways. Maybe you do pathways, because I think pathways is a good concept. Maybe when we're doing those streets up there, we move the street one way towards the right of way, and it opens up one side of the street to do a 10-foot pathway.
That's perfect.
Something like that. Maybe that pathway ties in with Wickham Junction. You can go from the north end of Lapine all the way down to City Hall, basically, on pedestrian walkways.
Perfect. We love that. When are we going to do that? Her area could be the test. Put lights up there and start a pathway.
Right.
Yeah, I'll next week.
Right? My biggest thing is if I put lights up there, maybe some of those people that bought housing in there wanted the more rural lifestyle.
That's true.
All of a sudden they got lights in there. They're like,
I know.
They don't want lights.
But a lot of them still like the dirt gravel road, but the problem is they drive like they're out in the country. Nobody lives there, which is, you know.
And I think
the speed is really.
And I will say, when we tear those streets up, we're not going to put native soils back in. We're going to put gravel back in. So we're putting gravel back in. We're building a base for when we do pave those roads. We have already a base in place. So
that'd be nice.
Gravel would be nice up there.
Sure, it would be. Thank you. Last thing, I'll let you guys go. When the water system comes through, will there be hydrants put in?
Yes.
Because we don't have any.
Absolutely.
Okay. That would be good. Yeah. Also safer.
You mean safer. Your fire insurance is going to go down too.
That would be nice. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. That was what I had.
Thank you. Welcome to the committee.
Really, seriously, think about
that. Don't get out of here too quick. I have an application for you.
Yeah. I actually have one. I was going
to say. All those in favor?
Yay.
Thank you.
Excellent.
Thank you. Good thoughts.
Yeah. Well, I think there's a lot of potential for that area, too.
Well, we've got all the multifamily dwelling and been allowed in that area, so it could really explode.
Well, that's looking at that part of town right now, too, more along the highway. And what they can do, because let's face it, the overpass isn't probably going to happen for a while.
Right.
But we still need some focus on that part of town. So
yes.
There's been a lot of discussions on how we're going to improve those areas up there. And it would, you know, I think ODOT's willing to invest in that part of town now.
Yeah.
They've been listening.
Well, and I wish we'd kind of have some long.
Because Burgess
areas.
Is still a problem, right? Getting off of Burgess.
Yes.
We need to fix that problem. We were holding back because we thought the overpass was going.
Right.
Yes. Now it's not. So who knows when. We still have problems up there we need to address.
Good.
Any other public comments? Okay. Staff comments?
I'm good.
I take it that's a no.
I'm going to lose my voice if I keep talking. The guys will be excited.
We don't have it, is it? Okay.
That's a first.
Committee member comments?
I will say that Reed's scheduled to take a test next month to be a wastewater collection operator.
That's a 20% salary increase?
Yeah, at least.
We'll budget that.
Go for it.
In the 19 budget.
Back to, what was your name again?
Kathy Van Dam.
Kathy said about stop signs.
Yeah, that's something we can get immediately done. We've got some funds we can figure out to get some signage up there. That sounds like a no-brainer.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you.
Easy work.
I wish I could put like 15 mile per hour signs up there,
but
legally I can only put 25.
Yeah.
And I think we need some more speed signs up there as well, not just stop signs, but some speed signs.
That maybe I'm not sure will help them because the ones who do it all the time, they'll even pay attention.
Anymore. There's a couple streets that don't have a speed sign, so I think they feel a little,
sure.
You know, a little jaded, which I understand.
You know that feeling. The jaded feeling.
The forgotten one.
I'll put you on that.
I won't.
I'll make one.
Put a stop sign in his street.
I got one. Doesn't work very well.
But it needs to be. I mean, they
I'll have my girls, my daughters help build a sign for you.
Have them draw it a roundabout for me. That would be good. Okay. How we doing? Everything looking?
Committee member.
No. I just wanted to add, if I'm not mistaken, in the Cagle subdivision, you got two roads that are main roads.
Uh-huh.
And it's Cagle and Schedule. Those are your main roads. Anything coming into that, they're the ones that don't have the right of way. Whoever's on the main roads has the right of way.
Right.
So the stop signs should be on those feeder roads. So I can
stopping
call
them from
yeah, have them stop before they get onto the main roads.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
no, I understand.
Yeah,
that.
A lot of people don't know that.
Right.
What do you mean? Of course it's a main road.
I would assume the Burgess friendly ones have stop signs.
Right.
At the
Burgess,
yes,
that goes in.
But the ones going up to Cable.
The opposite way,
yeah.
Not.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah, we could look at that cover. That's not
going to
be.
Thank you for coming in, Gaddy.
Yeah.
Appreciate the input.
When do you want to start on the board?
You got openings. Any other committees?
I'm good.
Comments?
The other thing I want to say is that every time I see more information on this telemetry and the GIS, I am so proud of our city, our small city, that is still so young, to move forward with something of this scale. It is so impressive and just makes us a model for other small cities. Congratulations to everyone involved.
Jake, I did your job.
Been hitting up a really
good impression.
I'll be honest.
I can't catch a break with you guys.
I was proud of being here when I was here first. But going away and seeing how some of the other bigger cities run and how it makes your life easier and how you go home at the end of the day, you're not fretting everything that could go wrong, right?
Yeah.
That's not because you want it affects you, but it affects all the customers in your system. And that's your biggest fear as an operator. You want to make sure your customers have reliable infrastructure. And we're working towards that.
You know, for drawing new businesses to the area, I mean, this is just something that should be emphasized, how forward-looking the city is to solve problems before they happen.
Right, and then all those new businesses that want to come into here, we want them, we welcome them, but if they want to hook up to our system, we really look at what their use is and how it affects our system. And maybe they have to make an extra improvement based on what they're doing, because it doesn't just affect them, it affects the overall system. So we're looking at that a lot too when people come in, especially bigger users. We want to make sure that we can handle them and that the whole city can handle them. And if not, they're going to make some improvements to do so.
Depending on the business, that can be a significant cost.
Maybe one of those lift stations needs upgraded. We get one of those users to do so because they affect that specific lift station.
I didn't hear Tom's answer when he asked about the station by the fire hall.
can you put in a new one and just eliminate the old one?
We can look at that, yeah.
To me, a lot of times, just building beside it and doing a complete new.
Just like looking up.
Yeah. It's sometimes cheaper than trying to retrofit an old.
Sure.
Like what you have, and you get rid of the safety hazard.
You just got to find a different contractor.
Oh, right.
Yeah, there's no parking there for somebody leaving for 6 months.
There's obviously room there for it. No, I'm sure. I've had talks with the fire district. Hey, could you expand our easement there to help?
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Because it benefits you. Your wastewater will go to that lift station. So possibly, could we come to an agreement and expand that easement that we currently have? And they were open to that. So absolutely, if we're gonna retro that station, we should look at what it would cost to just improve it 100% and compare the two. That's an easy number to get. No, the retro, that's the number we're working on right now.
Yeah.
We can get a brand new lift station price pretty quick. I got an engineer that likes to do that for me.
Probably got a pretty good feel for what it costs to build the last one.
And we've been looking at lift stations quite a bit for other reasons, so we're getting a pretty good idea how much a lift station costs.
Okay.
And we're not reinventing the wheel. I mean, there's other cities that are doing it all the time. So there's a lot of information out there we could use, like the city then.
Is it possible to tack onto something that they're doing, you know?
City Bend?
Similar type scenario.
I could put the feelers out there and see, I suppose. But, I mean,
probably not this.
If it was a contractor from the East Coast, yeah, it would make sense because they're going to be in Central Oregon. But if there's a Central Oregon company based, then it probably doesn't make a lot of sense. They're not saving a whole lot. But if it's a specific application to where it's a specific job and City of Bend is doing it, then yeah, maybe we could piggyback and say, hey, well, if you're in Bend doing this, come on down a little pine, too. And I've done that. We've done that before with certain stuff. A lot of your utilities will reach out. Hey, we got this company coming over. And they like to do this, but if they can get more work for this contractor, their prices go down a little bit. So we'll reach out and say, hey, we're doing some manhole restorations. We got this company over. Do you guys have any manholes you'd like to possibly look at? Like, sure, we'll be open to that. And I've kept a pretty good rapport with City of Bend. Over the last few years, just for those reasons, not because they're bad reasons, but you have to help each other out. And I feel like sometimes they're always helping us out because we're smaller and we don't have a lot to offer for them. But they presented me with an opportunity last week to help them finally. They're doing interviews this week for a new Utility 2 worker, and they want outside help on the board. They don't want just people that are working there on the panel. So there's several people from the outside, and they wanted me to be on that panel for the interview, so I said I would do it. So I'll be there tomorrow for 2 hours on Thursday. I'll be with an interview panel at the City Bend.
But all the spare time you've made now with these improvements, you...
Right. Yeah. So I want to help, but...
That's why they're so tired. They're speechless today.
Do you have a timeline on your Crescent Creek conversion to three-phase?
A little timeline? You know, there is a lot of talk about a development going in there again, another phase of Crescent Creek. So I'd kind of like to maybe line up some of those improvements with that, with the potential of three-phase being closer to our lift station. Right now, three-phase is a little further out, but as that project went on, it'd make it even closer to the lift station.
Is that Polish building that way?
Yes.
Well, they're selling everything before it's even finished.
Right, so it makes sense, right? They want to do another 40 homes, so...
But that's where Jane had told me it was going to be, that section on the other side of the
clubhouse. Yeah, closer to the highway.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
A motion
for adjournment.
I'll make the motion.
I second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us today.
It is always a joy to have you here.
How long have you been?